This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Having a Laugh with Nathan and Dylan. I'm Nathan Cross.
Dylan Stewart.
Oh, and here we are back at Palmerston North, Manawatu People's Radio.
Yeah,
9:99 a.m. if you're listening live.
Yeah, it's 9 p.m. We're ready to roll.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Comedy in Palmerston North this weekend, it took a step up.
Yeah, what an awesome weekend. Yeah,
what a way
awesome
to welcome in Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori.
Yeah.
Then having Crack Up with the Cuzzies, headlined by Māori TV's Jermaine Ross, but featuring some outstanding local performances from our Māori comedians locally.
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved the whole night. I laughed all night. It was great. And some strong performances.
Some very strong performances. I think we had a lot of satisfied people going home.
Yeah, and I was actually really, it was a really nice compliment at the end of the night when our headliner, Jermaine Ross, said, you know, this was a great idea. This was such a cool show. We had more Māori on the lineup than there are in Auckland, perhaps. Probably not quite a true statement, but, you know, it was a nice sentiment to say that, you know, hey, I love what you're doing and I love that you're supporting Māori comedy.
That was what happened in the week that was, Palmerston North. What happened in the week that was in the world?
Yeah, so I got this article that I just think you're going to really dig about. This is from Australia. An Australian vegan lady has taken a family to court. Have you heard this story?
I know where you're going with this. Let's go.
Yeah, because their neighbors are cooking barbecues in their backyard. So she lives next door. She's a vegan. She doesn't like the fact that they're cooking meat in their backyard because she can smell it. And it's offending her.
Yeah, I think she's taken to every single level of court in Australia.
Yeah.
Right up to the highest.
Right up to the highest, which I can't see going through, to be honest.
No, she says, so it's under the fact that it's ongoing and targeted harassment.
Yeah.
It's not allowing her to enjoy her garden.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, what got me about this is, I mean, I feel everyone has the right to do whatever they want in their backyard, as long as they're not physically hurting anyone. But, I mean, all they're doing is trying to cook themselves some dinner or whatever, and they've even actually accommodated her by trying to cook in the front yard. Their kids also aren't allowed to come out and play because they're too noisy.
Now, this person sounds like an arsehole.
That's exactly what they sound like, a complete arsehole.
I love the way that this has been responded to. It's been responded to in the most Australian way.
Yeah.
The most Australian way known to man, which is that there's a vegan on the street that's pain in the arse, so let's go have a barbecue.
Let me tell you, if this was my neighbour, there would be a non-stop rotisserie of meat going on that barbecue. I would just, as soon as the meat is cooked, I would just put more meat on it. You know what I mean? I don't care how much it cost me or what it did. I mean, that's just and I get that she's a vegan and she doesn't want the meat. I get that, but this is their backyard.
Yeah, they got to watch that one. They can't be siding with people because of disruptive smells. Because first comes the vegans coming for your barbecue. Next comes the Nazis coming for the Indian family cooking next door. We don't like it. It smells funny. That's what they say. That's not my words.
Yeah.
So, you know, they set a dangerous precedent with that. I think, Australia, you're dealing with this in the right way. Fucking barbecue right outside this chick's house.
Yeah.
So what even is a vegan?
What is a vegan? Giant asshole, as far as I'm concerned.
Nice.
I have vegans in my family.
You do?
No, yeah.
You have a giant arsehole in your family?
Yeah.
Oh.
I do.
The things you learn.
I have several of them.
I always thought it was a type of car.
Oh.
Apparently not.
Yeah. Some sort of German car.
Like you get a V8.
Ah.
V6.
A vegan, yeah.
A vegan.
They're so fast, they're just vegans.
Yeah. Sounds really futuristic.
Yeah.
It sounds like a god in Scientology. And then Lord Vegon came down. He's one of the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's it.
Vegon.
Vegon. Yeah, yeah. That was a ghost puzzle, wasn't it?
He was a smart one.
Yeah, there you go.
It was Egon.
Oh, Egon.
Egon Spengler. Played by the late and great Harold Ramey.
Oh, God. Do you know what country is all about the meat? To the point they're like, who cares about vegans? It's about the meat.
Argentina?
You know what other country closely related to Argentina?
Chile?
No, it's Germany.
Germany, closely related to Argentina.
Well, didn't they send them all the Nazis at the end of the war? Oh, that was Brazil.
No, it was Argentina was too, it? I think. Yeah.
Well, you know who handles meat right is Germany. Germany know what meat's all about. And this article popped up and I was like, oh, Germany, you've done it again. You've stolen my heart once again.
Mm.
They now have sausage vending machines. And apparently these things are booming and going off the charts.
Sausage vending machines.
Yeah, so what it is that apparently some shops don't want to be open till the middle of the night catering for drunk Germans. You know what I mean? Who want to come in and get a feed.
Do you get drunk Germans? I thought Germans were impervious to drunk.
No, I'm pretty sure you get them.
They seem very serious.
They do. But give them, you know, a few things of beer. Good people.
Or really bad people.
One of the two. But what they've done is they set up these vending machines all over Germany so that way shops don't have to stay up to the middle of the night catering for drunk idiots, especially in the rural areas where maybe they don't need to be open all night. They're full of sausages in sealed packs as well as little like containers of things like potato salad and sauerkraut. So people can literally rock up drunk, order like a packet of sausages, some sauerkraut and some potatoes and just have themselves a total drunk feed. Without disturbing the peace. I just think that's so brilliant. There's not much else to report in the article except I want them here at my house. Like I want a vending machine at my house where I can just rock up at any time and be like, Frankfurters, please, and out they come.
So now you no longer have to go to one of these German bondage clubs to get a face full of meat in the middle of the night.
No. No, you can go right here to a vending machine. So thanks, Germany. I love your stuff. Wow. I love everything you've done from 1945 onwards.
And the Autobahn.
Yeah.
I mean, they did some good things in the 1930s. Everything
the before Autobahn. 1934.
I think that the Autobahn was like 1938 or 9 or some shit like that. Like it was.
Yeah.
It's like the one good thing that happened in that period there.
Yeah. I'll give them that. But then everything from like 1938 to 1945. Yeah.
Yeah, there's all the bit.
That's all good.
I wouldn't even go as far to say as there was a big question mark over the whole period. I think that I understand that we're quite. I don't know. Volkswagens were pretty good too.
I'll give you that. Yeah, Volkswagens. There you go.
Yeah, the Golf, most popular car in Europe.
That's it. The cool cars.
Volkswagen.
Yeah.
So, you know, before you go around knocking the 1930s Germany.
Yeah.
Just remember.
Take a moment.
It gave you the Volkswagen, and it gave you the motorway.
Yeah. Took a lot, though.
Yeah.
Took a lot to get that.
I would say it was an unfortunate period of time.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
They say there's
the Volkswagen is like a little bit of glimmering hope.
I hate to use the term silver lining in this instance. Anyway.
We may not be coming to you next week.
Oh, God. We all pray. One more bit of news.
Right. I've got some breaking news this week.
Oh, go for it.
I don't know. I heard on the grapevine that this might be a shock for some of you. So buckle in. It's a bit much, but it's quite terrible news.
Huh.
I was reading that apparently Saddam Hussein may have some weapons of mass destruction.
What?
Yeah.
No.
In Iraq?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony Blair and George Bush are all over it, though.
Oh.
They're getting in there. They're saying, don't worry. They're saying, don't worry. They're saying, we're going to send in the troops.
Yeah.
We've got this Afghanistan mess sorted.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's time to go into Iraq, and we're going to take out Saddam Hussein.
And his weapons of mass destruction.
And there's weapons of mass destruction. They say they're definitely there.
Yeah.
They're definitely there. I've just been reading this and I find it quite alarming.
Are they going?
There's definitely weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
In Iraq.
In Iraq.
Right now.
Wow.
Right now Saddam Hussein.
Wow. Are they going today?
They're going. They're gone. They're on the way. They're fighting. Wow. They've sent in the Marines. George Bush is all over this shit.
Wow. President George Bush.
Current President George Bush.
He's going in to sort this out.
Yeah.
Well, thank God. Thank God for George Bush.
I'm glad we're living in a time when when we really trust our presidents and prime ministers. And when they take us in a war, we know. We know that they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And you know, it really gives me great confidence that there could be, that even the worst president of America of all time is acting.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he's getting a lot of flack. It's because he's the worst ever president. There will never be anyone worse than this guy. This guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
But I feel most assured that we're going to get these weapons.
Yeah.
They're going to be everywhere.
It's good to know that on today, September the 11th.
Yes.
As the seers.
Uh-huh.
We are going to be a bit safer.
We're going to get them. This is a year on.
Yeah.
We're going to get these guys.
Fingers crossed. I have all faith.
So what do you think of that? Like I said, I've got the confidence in Blair and Bush. They would never take us illegally into anything.
And Blair, he seems like a very prepared person. Like, he'll be prepared to go to war.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't just send people in willy-nilly with, like, Land Rovers.
For sure. And it's really comforting to know that he has got a nice, secure parliament behind him. The UK parliament has never been stronger than it is today.
Never.
It is unified.
Yeah.
Across the aisles. This is the right thing to do.
Yeah,
the people, there's some protests, but largely the people, they know, they're supportive. Our political leaders, they're doing the right thing. So I'd just like to wish, our boys and girls on the front lines the best. And go get these definitely their weapons of mass destruction.
Any word what our Prime Minister has said about this?
Old. To be honest, I'm not well versed in New Zealand politics. I don't even know who the Prime Minister is right now.
That'd be Helen Clark. At this stage.
I thought it was Jacinda Ardern. She's so young. She's so young.
Anyway, good luck, boys and girls.
Don't get him. I hope they kill him.
God. I hope they find a big statue of him and pull it down in front of everyone.
So what have we been watching recently, Dom?
Okay. So Father's Day's just been. And I got a chance to sleep in and then watch whatever I wanted in bed. And I chose one of my all-time favorite movies in Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles.
What a fantastic movie. Absolutely fantastic movie.
It is so fantastic. We have got the original trailer.
Yeah.
Has been uploaded to YouTube from 1974, so someone has gone along with it. So let's roll the trailer and then we'll talk a little bit about Blazing Saddles.
Torn from the fiery pages of the mightiest annals of the West comes the supreme saga in the great tradition of frontier drama.
Francis.
Blazing saddle, he wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far.
What's your name?
Well, my name is Jim, but most people call me Jim.
Well, do your best.
Let's see. Where were we?
Oh, Rock Ridge.
Rock Ridge. I want that land. Clumsy fool.
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. There might be a legal precedent. Of course. Land snatching. Let's see. Land, land. See, snatch.
Hello, handsome. Is that a 10-gallon hat?
It's a J.
just sign this, sir, right here.
Okay, give us a hand here.
All right, sir.
Work, 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 work.
Okay, folks, let's wipe them out!
The heroic sheriff rallies his citizens in the wildest finish the West has ever seen, or the movies have ever shown.
Ow! Oh, ow! Have you ever seen such cruelty?
There we go.
Losing Saddles.
That was a weird ad.
That was a very weird ad.
They really hadn't got ads down in 1974. But
I mean, there's a combination of me being a little bit old.
Yeah.
The fact that it was probably very low budget.
Yes.
But also the fact that it is very likely that 1974, those are the only bits of the movie you could see in the ad.
Yeah. Yeah, I would put money on that, so... but what a cool movie. If you haven't seen it, it's Mel Brooks. Now, look, if you're easily offended, if you're a very woke person, for God's sakes, this isn't the movie for you.
You've probably seen an appreciation. See, if you're a woke person, you've probably watched this movie. You've probably loved it.
Yes.
You probably now find it problematic in your age. But you probably still love it a bit.
Yeah.
But if they made this film and you hadn't seen it yet and you didn't know it was a classic and they made it now, you would probably ban it from being screened in cinemas.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me now if it, you know, this just celebrated an anniversary recently. From
1974, so make it 35? 45 years.
So 45 years, and...
don't make me get the calculator out.
No, God, please. And so probably wouldn't actually get like a 50-year anniversary screening, I can imagine. I mean, it may in some places, but I'd imagine a lot of places there'll be protesters and assholes. Vegans not wanting us to watch it or something like that. But
this was
so
a revolutionary
fun.
Film.
It was. Yeah, it was.
Like,
for several reasons.
It was a truly revolutionary film.
Yeah. My favourite, a wee bit. I want to talk about something, but not spoil the movie in case people haven't seen it.
Everyone has seen Blazing Saddles is in the public domain now.
If you haven't seen it, Jesus Christ.
It's like talking about Monty Python. You're allowed to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. So my favorite part of this whole movie, and still gets me every time, is how the whole movie is just a big fuck you to the audience at the end of it, because you think this thing's going to have this ending, and in the end they just reveal this is just a movie lot, you idiots. And the whole ending just travels through this movie studio, destroying it essentially, and then ends back in the Wild West. And I just love that whole big finger. To me, it was just Mel Brooks going, "Oh fuck you! I don't need an ending. This movie was fantastic."
Yeah.
So I just one of my favorites.
And in the time period, I mean, this is you're talking about a movie that is maybe in the current day doesn't seem it, but at the time you're talking an ultra progressive movie.
Oh yeah.
Jewish director, starring Cleveland Little.
Yeah.
Who is he would have been one of the a leading man of color in a mainstream release.
Yeah.
Which was
very unheard.
Not most usual.
Yeah.
Particularly he's non-caricatured. He's not a caricatured character.
Yeah.
Sheriff Bart is probably the only straight character in the whole. And Gene Wilder's character.
Yeah.
So are probably the only two straight characters in the whole thing. Everyone else is an obscene character of a Wild West kind of.
Yeah, like a spoof of a Wild West character.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's also fairly revolutionary for the fact that they, Bart, the character of Bart, he was a genius. He was clever and smart and outwitted, the bad guys, for lack of a better term. Like, he outwitted everyone. So he didn't have to be the strongest. He was just the smartest in that movie. And so because of that, he won the day, which I really like. I got some amazing facts about that movie.
Okay.
So in preparation for today, I Googled the movie and I found these cool facts. The movie was actually originally going to be titled Ted X, as in homage to Malcolm X. Other titles included Black Bart and The Purple Sage, but eventually they came to Blazing Saddles.
Movie. That's cool.
Yeah. They actually approached John Wayne to be in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And although he found the script very funny...
He refused to work with a Jewish director.
He just politely declined to be in the movie. So
I don't know what John Wayne's doing.
Yeah.
There was a different time, but John Wayne was a symbol of that particular time.
Yeah. He did say, "I'll be the first in line to see the movie," though.
Good on him.
Speaking of groundbreaking, it was also the first movie to incorporate audible flatulence. Yeah, and that's the thing.
I know there's a famous scene where they're farting around the campfire, and and now it maybe comes across as a little juvenile and whatnot, but at the time, that was a big deal.
Yeah. And it's such a good part of the movie. I love that bit where he's like, how about some more beans, boss? I think you've had enough beans. I love that bit. A few other interesting facts. Slim Pickings, who played Taggart, of course, to get into character, slept outside with a Winchester rifle.
Oh, okay.
Just to get the feel of the character and what it was. So good for him. And of course, Gene Wilder. Actually, the two leads weren't the first choices to play the two leads. Of course, the movie was actually written for Richard Pryor, who was going through some drug rehabilitation at the time. But Gene Wilder wasn't the first pick to play. Others included Johnny Carson. Imagine what a different movie that would have been.
Well, they lucked out.
In a way,
because Gene Wilder is, I mean, this is the film that kind of put him on the map, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and thank God, I love Gene Wilder in that. In that movie, like, he's so good.
Oh, maybe the producers actually. He was in the producers, was he not?
Young Frankenstein, I think, or maybe the producers. One of them came first, and that was the movie. Madeleine Kahn earned an Oscar nomination for a portrayal of saloon singer Lily von Stupp.
Yes,
so good for her.
The thing that I find interesting about this film is the way that people they automatically go, "Oh, Blazing Saddles wouldn't be made now." As if it's some kind of damning indictment of, I guess, the powers that be in society or the movie industry or whatever. And to an extent, I guess they're right. The movie industry is very by committee written.
Yes.
But when this came out, it was very controversial.
Yes.
People were up in arms over this. It wasn't like it was a movie that was just like everyone just thought, oh, this is hilarious and instant classic. It was kind of like the Monty Python Life of Brian kind of thing, where people who liked it loved it, and there was a bit of a counter-cultural thing, but actually the established mainstream people did not care for this movie at all. Banned, it was obscene, and there was audible farting. That guy who's the lead character can't have that.
No.
Makes all the other people look bad. I think that in my mind, what's maybe a little bit different is that audiences are just a little bit boring now.
Yeah, in a way.
I feel like if you released the equivalent of this movie now, you would have the movie studio who released it would have to be some kind of indie studio, so it wouldn't get wide release.
Yep.
Because it's not a Marvel movie. You then have the press would lose their fucking mind over it, and politicians would be trying to ban it, and you know, the modern day church. You know, the vegans, they'd try and ban it. But then it's like, I don't think people go and see it. Because it used to be a challenge. Like, when those people got annoyed about things, there would be like a group of people who goes, oh, all these people are upset about this.
Yeah.
I've got to go and see it.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, we go, well, these people are upset about it.
It must be really obscene. Yeah. I probably shouldn't see that because that wouldn't be very good.
And I think that's why it would fail if it was made today. Not because of the powers that be, or I think it's just that people become douchebags.
Yeah, I agree. But that's what I've been watching lately. I dug it. I dug every minute of it. I had my kids come in halfway through, and they dug what they saw. They have attention span of a gnat, so I mean, they weren't really sticking around to watch it. My youngest daughter really liked the fart scene, but that's because she's five to six. You know what I mean?
Yep.
However old she is, but. More Mel Brooks.
More Mel Brooks. Or the new Mel Brooks. We'd find the new Mel Brooks.
Yeah. Yeah, who is the new Mel Brooks is a good question.
We don't know. Oh, well. So, what's on this week? What have we got on this week in Palmerston North, comedy-wise? Tomorrow night, I think we have an open mic.
We do have an open mic tomorrow. So Fresh and Funny's on.
Fergus Aiken's
coming up from
Wellington, wherever he lives, I think.
Yep, good on him.
Yep.
So he's heading up State Highway 1 to see us, and he is a great comedian. And
clown and performer.
A lot of things, all-round performer.
All kinds of stuff.
He's teacher.
Very experienced. So come along and witness that.
It should be fun.
Yeah.
It should be heaps of fun. I'm not going to make it. I'm down in Wellington doing a show.
Oh, yes, very good.
Yeah. I wish I could tell you the details, but all I know is that it's at the Fringe Bar, 8 o'clock. Our Jaguar is the host.
Oh, well, Jaguar, it's like a comedy showcase or extravaganza or
something
like with El Jaguar.
Yep, and I've been lucky enough to be invited to come down.
Very cool.
If you listen to this, though, can I just give a self-plug? Come to that. But more importantly, if you listen to this and you're in Auckland, 20th of September, bring my show up to Auckland at the Classic Studio. I could really use some more tickets, Els.
Yep.
No.
And I guess just finally before we start.
Yeah.
Oh, and also on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m.
International Stand-Up Comedy
Workshop at the Globe. Yep. But just before we finish, a wee final plug.
Yes.
This is very important news. I don't know if we covered this before.
No, we haven't.
It's very important.
Yes, it is.
On the first Saturday of Palmerston North Comedy Festival, that's the 16th.
Yep.
We are going to be kicking off the awareness raising of a Fred Dagg John Clark.
John Clark, yep.
Fred Dagg John Clark memorial statue of sorts or exhibit.
Memorial thing.
Memorial thing.
Yeah.
And what you're going to do this is we are going to be attempting a Guinness World Record for the most Fred Daggs in one place at one time.
Yeah.
So tell your friends, tell everybody.
Yeah, so I'll check an event up this coming week.
On Facebook?
We were hoping to put it up earlier. We just had to sort of cross a few T's and dot a few I's.
You need to speak to the artist. You need to speak to the council.
Yeah.
Get all that stuff sorted. But we want to attempt this record, and we want 1,000 Fred Dags.
At minimum.
Minimum.
A million would be great.
Yeah.
A million.
To be honest, I don't know if this is a record that exists, so, you know, like 5 might be enough. But we want 1,000 Fred Dags in the square, because it would make a cool-ass photo.
Yeah.
And then you come along... Sing the Gumboot song with us in the square.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
And there'll be, we're trying to get food trucks involved.
Yep.
And then come and enjoy Comedy Fest.
Yep, council's jumped on board. They've given us a bit of land to work on.
Just a little bit. There's just an unfamous little bit of land right in the middle of Palmerston North.
Yeah, yeah, we'll put some details up.
The oval.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be heaps of fun, and it's a good way to kick off Comedy Fest as well.
Yep, that's right. So get yourself along. Check out our Fred Dagg tribute. If you don't know who he is, for God's sake, jump on YouTube and check out John Clark.
Yeah, brilliant guy.
You might not know him in this country, but in Australia, they venerate him as like a god of comedy.
Yeah.
And he's a Kiwi, so shame on you.
And he's from Palmy.
And he's from Palmy. Yep, that's right. So anyway, we'll leave it on that note. Until next week, 9 p.m. Wednesday, I'm Nathan Cross.
Dylan Stewart.
And this has been Having a Laugh on NPR.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at npr.nz.